Yo, what is up, guys? I'm Michael, and this is Off the Top Dope, taking you back to some of the most and least dope moments in professional wrestling history. Today, I wanted to take you back to an abomination of a show, something current day WWE casual fans might not know about, and even diehard fans might not know about, because the true format of it didn't last very long. And it almost seems kind of like it's been erased from history, except for YouTube. I mean, it's apparently not even available on Peacock. And I'm talking about Shotgun Saturday Night.
Off the Top Dope.
So what exactly was Shotgun Saturday Night? I mean, like, for real, what was it? If you saw it, you might not even know. It was something else, dude. It would air at 2 in the morning. It was syndicated. But yeah, 2 in the morning. So it would be a little bit after Saturday Night Live ended, and I guess it was supposed to like appeal to, like, you know, whoever watched that would watch Shotgun Saturday Night, which is kind of stupid to think. That's a stupid thought to have, because I mean, those worlds are completely different. And 2 in the morning, like, who the fuck is gonna stay up that late? Especially considering the cards were always just like, it was always just mid-card talent. I mean, they had Bret Hart and Mankind and Stone Cold came on there, but it was never very good. It was just racy, you know. It had a lot of the themes that they later expanded on in the Attitude Era. You know, it was kind of the precursor to the Attitude Era. You know, like, it had a lot of the same sex and level of violence and humor. It was a late night show, you know. It was supposed to be racy because they could do that stuff. I mean, before this, the biggest thing that Raw had done was they said the word ass on TV, but Shotgun Saturday Night was something totally different. I mean, you had Marlena showing her tits, even though she had pasties on, and then you had just like midget wrestling and stuff like that. You know, that was back when WWF was still doing that. It was kind of, you know, not something they really treated seriously. You had the headbangers dressed as the Flying Nuns. You guys remember that? Diehard hardcore fans thought that was awesome, and then they started chanting "Go to Hell" when they realized that this match was gonna keep going for like 15 minutes. But let me back up a little bit. Shotgun Saturday Night was filmed in New York City for the first 6 weeks. It was live, and it was filmed from nightclubs and like concert venues, really sort of smaller, intimate nightlife settings. And it was actually like the first appearance of the yellow ropes in a WWE event, which weren't used again until NXT, obviously. And when I say it was filmed like this for the first 6 weeks, I literally mean like only the first 6 episodes. Like, it's a pretty cool concept, and like, you can get how they would have thought that would have been really appealing, but it ended up not really working out that well. So after the first 6 episodes, they just started pre-taping before or after Raw. So it just became another arena show and just another show in the endless catalog of WWF shows that they had at the time. I mean, sometimes I look back and I'm like, what the hell was that? Like, I remember, you know, Raw, obviously, SmackDown, Heat, and I remember Sunday mornings, they had Superstars, which I hardly ever got to see because my parents dragged me to church. But I remember sometimes they would stay home if one of them was sick or whatever, and I would just be like, yeah, I get to watch Superstars, which, if you remember that was just basically just a recap show. But Shotgun Saturday Night basically became a recap show later on, after the nightclub scene was, after they stopped filming in those. So it was basically just another pointless show showing clips from previously in the week and then cutting that in with mid-card talent. Not that I'm shitting on mid-carders. I mean, we all kind of know, I think, that mid-card talent is probably some of the best sometimes. But, I mean, when you have an entire show of just mid-carders with the occasional sprinkling in of main eventers, it's kind of, you know, it's not gonna be your number one show, probably not even your number three show. But either way, we're here. Let's take a quick look at some of the stuff that was super, super, super Shotgun Saturday Night style. Yo, what's up, guys? If you're looking for some of the best deals on AEW trading cards, check me out on Whatnot under the name Chair Shot Cards. That's Chair Shot Cards, all one word.
I try to price things reasonably, try to give you some of the best deals out there. So come check it out some night. All right, back to the show.
So I already mentioned the Headbangers as the Flying Nuns. I already mentioned the thing with Marlena flashing. But there was also this part where it was like one of, I think it might have been the first Shotgun Saturday Night. There was a match that was Bret Hart and Mankind. And it wasn't even the main event, which is pretty odd. But this episode featured dancers on like their own little stages. It might have even been speakers. But Mankind sees them and he's just going nuts, like, you know, he like wants these these girls, and Paul Bearer is like, no. Vince McMahon is on commentary, which was not uncommon at the time, but then he was also joined by Brian Pillman and Sonny, just like people like that. Speaking of Sonny, there was a segment on Shotgun Saturday Night when they first started, and it was super, you know, edgy, where Sonny, they were hyping up this sex tape that Sonny had, and they were going to air it. And then, you know, I think that was, you know, obviously, I don't even know what I was going to say. I think obviously it was supposed to, you know, draw people in, and they're thinking, you know, oh, this is late at night, they're going to show it. And it was fucking, dude, I fucking can't even, oh my God. Guess, just take a guess who you think it was with. Maybe, I don't know, maybe someone on the roster, maybe someone in production, maybe a fan. I just want to let this moment sit here so you can think about who it could have been. It was the big, strong, bad, older brother of Elmo. It was not Tickle Me Elmo, they said. It was Fondle Me Elmo. And yeah, just let that sink in for a few minutes, dude. Like, what the fuck? It was a guy in an Elmo costume and a G-string just like gyrating his hips around. And it's like the fucking stupidest thing WWE has ever done. Maybe. And it's not even like that's something you can play a clip of on Raw, because, you know, you're still trying to be family friendly. It's not like you can be like, oh, breaking development on Shotgun Saturday Night, and then show that. So the show was never really going to push any storylines. I mean, everything was kind of fucking, dude, oh my God, like, great concept, stupid fucking show. And the payoff of this whole segment with Elmo was that his penis fell off. Like, all right. And then given the late night crowd, you know, like the nightlife settings, alcohol being available, you had fans getting rowdy and chanting things that obviously never would have made it to normal TV. You had the Nation of Domination in the ring, and the crowd is chanting, "Nation suck dick." Or how about when Goldust was pregnant? Yeah, dude. Yeah. Yeah. And they hyped up that they were going to show Goldust giving birth, and nobody wanted to fucking see that. Like, they just ended up scrapping it. So it's like, whatever happened with that? Fucking dumbass storylines back then, dude. Like, some of the dumbest shit was in WWF, I swear. And, you know, a lot of people just don't seem to know about any of this stuff. And if they do, they're really trying to act like they don't. I mean, for real. Mae Young gave birth to a hand a few years later. That made it to air. Goldust giving birth did not. Hey, what do I know? They really just tried to push the boundaries of what they could get away with such a late night time slot. I mean, you had Mosh throwing up on Thrasher. You had the Godwins dumping a slop bucket on Pat Patterson. I already mentioned Marlena earlier, but given the cramped space of some of these shows, they had to perform in a smaller ring, and the crowd was basically all around the ring, and even they contributed to some of the antics that this show was going on. I mean, you can see there was one match, it looked like Mark Miro, I can't really say for sure, I can't remember, but Triple H got whipped into the ropes, and a female in the audience reached up and grabbed Triple H's butt as he hit the ropes. I mean, try doing that now. I mean, jeez. And this was 1997. I mean, you remember that Hollywood backlot brawl between Roddy Piper and Goldust, where they ended up, Goldust got into that like Cadillac and drove off, and then Roddy Piper got into a Bronco and chased him, and then they showed like OJ footage. I mean, they were really hitting hard on like the OJ stuff back then, because that murder trial was still going on. And right here on Shotgun Saturday Night, they kept it going. I mean, when they would have like the wrestlers, you know, like the name plate show up on the screen, they would have like a little fact that had to do with OJ Simpson under it. Like Savio Vega was an alternate OJ juror, and Vader said couldn't wait for the OJ verdict. And if a train wreck of a wrestling show sounds like it would have been right up your alley, I mean, everybody kind of likes different things. I know, like, I like B movies and stuff, and this sounds, you know, like it would have been a B wrestling show. But let's take a look at what the main events were for the first 6 weeks, which was when I think it was really Shotgun Saturday Night. You had Mascarita Sagrada Jr. versus Mini Vader, which was a, what they would call a midget wrestling match. Then you had Doug Furness and Philip Lafron versus the Headbangers. Then we had Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Goldust. Like, okay. Then we had Crush versus Psycho Sid. All right. Then the Godwins versus the Headbangers. Headbangers featuring prominently on this show. Then the Nation of Domination versus Aldo Montoya and the Godwins. Godwins making lots of appearances on here too. I mean, I don't get why. I don't really think they were ever a draw, but then again, nothing on this show ever was a draw, really. But then those are the first 6 weeks where it was, you know, the real like heart of Shotgun Saturday Night. And then after that, like I was saying earlier, they just broke off and started filming before and after Raws, and it was just another show that was pre-taped, nothing special at all. But the only thing that was really ever special about Shotgun Saturday Night in the first place was the setting and the tone that, you know, they could do more risque, adult-oriented things. There were never any title changes. It was basically just exhibition matches in out-of-the-ordinary venues. Like, you even had The Undertaker entering Penn Station via escalator on the final, like, nightlife episode of Shotgun Saturday Night. I can see why WWE isn't putting this up on Peacock, because it does have like themes that were even a bit too much for the Attitude Era, and they're, you know, PG. You know, they've been PG for a very long time, so they're not gonna put this out there, I don't think. But you can see Shotgun Saturday Night on YouTube, so if this sounds appealing to you, check it out. But that's it for today, guys. It was a pretty short one. Just wanted to talk about this, because like, not a lot of people remember this or even know it exists. But if it sounds cool to you, check it out. I mean, and in the meantime, just enjoy wrestling. See you next time, guys.